Well, if you've ever been feeling blue and had a pet come up and snuggle up or try to get you to play, you know how much that can raise your spirits. Larry Mueller here. We are going to learn about the fascinating world of therapy dogs today with our good friend Patricia McConnell. She's a certified applied animal behaviorist and dog trainer, as well as author of many books, and she has been a guest on this show, so I don't even know how many times, and always happy to have her. Patricia, great.
Always good to be here, Larry.
It's a real pleasure to have you talk about therapy dogs. This is really something that's I'm interested in learning more about, and let's just start right to the basics. When we talk about a therapy dog, what do we mean?
Well, that's actually a really good question because people mean a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
strictly speaking, a therapy dog refers to an animal that's being used as part of an organized therapy process. So you're talking about a structured plan. You're talking about evaluation. You know, you might be talking about somebody who's had a stroke, for example, and they're regaining the use of their right arm. And so you might add a dog into there and ask them to start brushing the dog, walking the dog, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that will be the progress will be evaluated by a physical therapist, by a medical practitioner. So that's sort of one end of the continuum.
Yeah.
The other end of the continuum is what I'm doing right now with my Cavalier Tootsie, which is I'm part of the University of Wisconsin Vet School Pet Pals program. And we take dogs to the American Family Children's Hospital here in Madison, Wisconsin. And basically bring our dogs for a variety of purposes. Sort of the lightest, you might say, is just simply to entertain. You know, mm-hmm. It's not just the children who are there, and many of them.
Parents and grandparents, too.
And siblings.
And siblings, oh,
you know, so
sure.
Imagine you're 7 years old, your five-year-old sister has a truly severe form of cancer, and she is the center of your entire family. You know, what do you get to do, you know,
yeah.
And how do your parents take care of you, too? So we go twice a week, and patients and family, cousins, visitors, siblings can come in, and some of the patients truly do get a therapeutic effect in that we know just petting an animal increases oxytocin, and I'll talk a minute about the power of my favorite drug, oxytocin, and some people are just entertained or distracted from the difficulties of life. It's a very rewarding thing to do. I've just joined it. I've only been twice. It's been going on for a long time. It's headed by Linda Sullivan and a just bevy of amazingly generous and dear volunteers.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Are there other settings where therapy dogs might be used? This is a great setting, obviously, children's hospital, but where else?
Oh, there are. Nursing homes are a very common place to take a therapy dog. I actually did a seminar once that's on a DVD now about therapy dogs and about how to create a therapy dog and know if you have a dog who would be a good one. And we went to a nursing home here in Madison. And I was just leaving with one of my dogs and a woman who, I don't know what her cognitive difficulties were, but she clearly had some.
Yeah.
But she saw actually my dog, Willie, from a very long way and went, dog, dog, dog. And she ran up to me and talked a stream about how she grew up on a farm and they had border collie dogs. And she talked and talked and talked and talked. And I talked to somebody later who said, she never talks.
No.
We can't get her to talk.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So nursing homes, people who have had some kind of trauma, you know, service dogs, helper dogs with people who are recovering from PTSD are very hot topic right now, and rightly so. They can have a tremendously positive effect on people who have some kind of anxiety disorder or are recovering from the actual structural and physiological changes that occur in the brain after you've been traumatized.
Yeah.
So a whole wide variety of purposes and uses and contexts.
I was thinking, I'm not a dog, but my cat, one of our cats, was in the vet school in intensive care there for a few days, but had him back home, and he came up and sat and laid down right next to me on the couch, and then turns over on his back, and you know, and I'm sitting there rubbing his belly, and it's just the most calming thing,
isn't it? It's so true, and it's not trivial, and it has actually been a bit trivialized.
Yeah,
but the fact of the matter is it does change your physiology, it changes your internal chemistry, it changes your brain function, and very much in a good way. I mentioned oxytocin. That's the neurohormone. They call it the neurohormone of love and attraction. Mm-hmm. It's involved in reproduction. Women excrete or produce extra amounts of it when they're giving birth, but it's also in all social mammals. Men have it, women have it, and it's critical for social attachment and affiliation. So somebody calls it the wine and candlelight neural hormone. And it's the, you know, when you just get all warm and gooey because you're feeling so loving to something, that's a chemical response to oxytocin. And oxytocin 1 increases when you're petting your cat, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
It even increases for some people if they're in a room with an animal. And not only that, but the right amount of increase of oxytocin, I call it a wonder drug for good reason. It enhances your immune system. It decreases your blood pressure. It decreases your perception of pain after surgery. It increases or decreases the amount of time to heal from surgery. It has one of my favorite studies was done actually a long time ago. Karen Allen did a study where she just tracked blood pressure of people being asked to solve a math problem in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And they were either doing it with their spouse in the room or with their pet in the room. Guess whose blood pressure went up a lot and guess whose didn't. So they really do have a profound effect. I talk about take two dogs and call me in the morning because they – and it's just – you know, the first studies were done in the 80s and truly was trivialized. People just didn't – it's just pets, you know. But people are really getting it that – holistic medicine needs to look at this as an important treatment.
Well, it's fun to talk about, that's for sure. Patricia McConnell, our guest, certified applied animal behaviorist and author of several books, talking with her about therapy dogs and what do they mean and how are they used and how might you get involved with them? Do you have a therapy dog or maybe you've benefited from a visit from a therapy dog? We'd love to hear your experiences. And since I have yet to give the phone number, now might be a good time to do it. That's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or comment, or maybe if you've got a therapy dog, I'd love to see a photo of that dog.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see that. There's some gorgeous therapy dogs out there, just even in the Pet Pals program.
There's a Facebook comment from Dawn who says the UW Carbone Cancer Center and also Gilda's Club of Madison would be a couple of places that could benefit from therapy dogs.
That's a great idea. You know, I'm writing
You're
a
writing
note here.
Those down, yeah.
I'm writing a note here.
Absolutely.
You know, there's another program in Madison called Dogs on Call, which also does some wonderful work. You know, they bring dogs in for people who are either disabled or injured, who need that kind of comfort we've talked about. But they also bring dogs into students during finals at the university.
Ah.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to talk to them because I got some dogs that would, I think soothe a little bit of those exam anxieties, which are pretty serious. You know, the stakes are high for these students now. And, you know, it's tough. We forget how hard it is to be in school when we're out.
I have about 100 undergraduate advisees, so I see it every 6 and 12 weeks in final.
I'll bet you do,
It shows up all.
It's tough in there. You know, we forget when we're adults that you know, in school, as soon as you learn something, you go on to something new.
Yeah.
You never get to coast. That's tiring.
Aaron in Boulder Junction, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes, hello and good day, everybody. I just wanted to call and say I have a companion animal. It is a dog. Mm-hmm. Had him a number of years. He was recommended for my PTSD. And it's a beautiful program. I really support anybody volunteering or endorsing said program. One of the big changes has been, though, certain problems when we go out. With shopping can be difficult. The whole social awareness of what a companion or a service animal is really needs some clarity. Hotel stays, for instance, now I used to have to pay basically a person rate to have the dog there and a security deposit, but now that's shifted because I've become more insistent and aware of the regulations. So now as a service animal, I only have to pay $5. But going into grocery stores or the big box stores for shopping for whether it be CDs or pants or whatever it is still a problem. And I just wanted to call in and say that the program works. It's done miracles for me, and I strongly would really like to see it in a Greater Plains Society.
Oh, thank you so much for calling, Aaron. Are you with Freedom Dogs in outside of Denver? Because I think I saw you were in Boulder.
Boulder Junction.
Boulder Junction. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for sharing your experience. It's so valuable, and I hear you. We are not where we need to be yet. You know, especially in this country, you can take a dog into a supermarket or a restaurant in Europe, but it's just not even a big deal. But the regulations and the perceptions of sterility and cleanliness are very, very different here. And so, keep fighting the good fight, as if you needed to be fighting more. I know several service people who have developed PTSD because of their service, and in some cases they basically argue that the dog saved their life, really truly saved their life. And I know, you know, Aaron, I don't know your experience, but I know for a lot of people who never can feel safe, you know, and I think once you lose that sense of safety, you can never really imagine, you know, until that's happened to you, you can't imagine what it's like. And just being out in a crowd for some of my friends and colleagues is terrifying. And they know that they have a dog who is always on alert. A common thing, by the way, that PTSD dogs will do is to...
And PTSD, by the way, stands...
Post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. Is they will go into a dark home. Say you're getting home, you know, you're alone, it's dark. It's really scary for some people to go into a dark house. Really, really scary. Terrifying. And so the dog goes in first, you know? And the dog's going to know if somebody's there. The dog's going to know if things are okay. And so, you know, being out in public, sort of being a buffer, tremendous value. So thank you, Aaron, so much for sharing your story, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your call and your comments. Patricia McConnell, our guest today, she's a certified applied animal behaviorist, dog trainer, of course, and author of many, many books. As we talk with her today about therapy dogs, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 or on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Back with Patricia right after this look at the news. It's the rare person who hasn't dealt with grief or illness at some point in their life. And while there are lots of things that can help us get through those rough periods, it's hard to imagine something more comforting than unconditional love and affection from a dog. Certified applied animal behaviorist Patricia McConnell with us today to talk about therapy dogs, share her experiences with her dog Tootsie in the UW Vet School's Pet Pals program. And Patricia, of course, always great to see you.
Oh, always fun to be here.
And we have so many callers online with so many good questions. I want to go right to Jacqueline in Sturgeon Bay to share her experiences. Jacqueline, thank you for calling.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. Appreciate your call.
I just wanted to say that I have a therapy dog. His name is Elliot. And we go everywhere. Everywhere I go, he goes with me. And we have had problems with some grocery stores, but surprisingly, it's the smaller mom-and-pop stores that I've had more problems with than I have the big-box stores, so to speak. The big-box stores seem to, I guess, get it, and so they're used to having more, you know, animals coming in with people, and that they don't question me. The only problem I have is all the checkout girls and everything all know Elliot, so I have to stop and talk to everybody so that they can talk to him.
This is a cost here. There is no question about it, is that they're just such magnets, you know, of attention and affection. I know at Pet Pals in American Family Children's Hospital, a lot of the staff comes by. It's like, oh, it's the dog time. I get my therapeutic pet for a minute. So good for you for working with Elliot. You know, what kind of dog is Elliot?
Yeah, what breed is Elliot?
He is a toy poodle.
Great. Oh. Great.
And he's got his little carrier, and he just scrambles to get in it. He loves it, and he knows he gets in there, and he calms down, and he knows he's going to work.
Yeah.
And that's that. And I've got a little tag on there that says, therapy dog, please pet me.
The reverse of, yeah, that's really great. Thank you for calling, and good luck with Elliot. Give him a big smooch for me.
Now, that's a toy poodle. What about, are there other... Well, are there particular breeds of dogs that work better than others?
Yeah, it's a good question. And the answer is yes and no. Because it's really not about breed. It's about personality and behavior. You know, all dogs that go to a nursing home, go to a children's hospital, all of those dogs have to be rock solid, stable. Just really solid, stable. So the first time I took Tootsie, my little cavalier, to American Family Children's Hospital, a little boy was there, his 11-year-old boy, and his huge, gorgeous eyes, but they were huge and round, and he grabbed Tootsie by the face in a way that dogs really hate and put his nose right against Tootsie's nose in a way that is very, very aggressive in a dog's mind, basically. So I quickly went to protect Tootsie. But I know there are a lot of dogs who would not have tolerated that. They might even snapped at him. So first of all, dogs who go to like nursing homes, children's hospital, they need to be as rock solid, stable as imaginable. Mm-hmm. But also in some, then it really varies tremendously because, for example, at the hospital, a lot of the children have an IV pole and they have three or four or five tubes stuck into them.
Yeah.
So you can't bring in a big, happy, I love everybody golden retriever whose tail wipes everything off the table at home because you just disconnected an IV. Yeah. So the dogs have to be very quiet, you know, very, very measured and quiet. And so in another context, they could be, you know, go see UW students. They could be a lot more energetic. So, and, you know, if it's a one-on-one case of a dog working with somebody as a companion dog and therapy dog with someone with PTSD, that dog also needs to be rock solid, but they need to be extremely attuned to that one particular person. They are their partner. They are their protector in a way. That's a big responsibility to put on the shoulders of a dog. And some dogs, they can carry it just beautifully.
Liz in Fitchburg, thank you so much for calling. Hi.
Hi. Morning, Larry. Morning, Trish. I was actually on WPR with you, Trish, when Dogs on Call, when they showed that Shelter Me part during the...
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah,
hi, Liz.
It was a lot of fun. We just had a great time. And I just wanted to put a plug in there for therapy dogs. You know, as Trish mentioned, Dogs on Call goes all over the place. We have 125 members in South and Southeastern Wisconsin now. And when Larry asked what kind of dog, we have dogs that weigh 6 pounds all the way to dogs that weigh 200 pounds. And we've got an Irish Wolfhound now. We've got a huge Great Dane. And then we've got everything in between down to our little 6-pound Papillon. So there's a wide variety of dogs and personalities from breeders and from rescue groups, just, you know, every kind of dog you can imagine. But as Trish said, they have to have the right personality, and they absolutely have to love people. That's the number one prerequisite, is that they love people and are drawn to them. And when you have a dog like that who does want to be around people, and then you combine that with a well-behaved, well-trained dog, that's a therapy dog in the making. And so one of our big programs with Dogs on Call is a university program, which I coordinate. Now we're in our fifth year there, where we take the dogs in to see the students during special events that are set up by the students at their dorms or the libraries or professional schools. And it's amazing how fast this program and how much this program has grown. Watching the students see the dogs come and absolutely fall on the floor and smile and hug and kiss and really have lots of fun with the dogs is really worth all. It's just really worth it. Great program, and I would encourage any other university or school. In fact, I've gotten calls from as far away as Florida and out east asking how we set this program up, because they're also interested in setting up a university program for their students. So
that's great.
It's catching on. But the whole idea is this idea of touch and unconditional love. You know, these young students live their lives on a fast lane. There's lots of social media. There's lots of looking down at their phones or doing text messaging, calling, emailing, whatever. So for them to be able to sit down on the floor and actually touch a dog and stay in one place where they're just petting a dog for a little bit slows them down considerably and helps them to take stock of where they are in their lives.
Mm. And, you know, a lot of those kids have dogs at home, but they're away from home. They're in, you know, they're living in little rooms. They're in highly stressful situations. And they have dogs at home, and they miss them horribly. So when people like Liz and all the other great volunteers of Dogs on Call come in, it's invaluable. It really is. One thing I want to pick up, Liz, on your really important comment about how dogs need to love people is to be a good therapy dog. There are a lot of people who want their dog to be a therapy dog who frankly, don't quite understand yet that some dogs really are just not right for it. I had a client, and I'm not speaking out of turn because I won't name any names, but years and years and years ago, I had a client who came in and said, I have a dog. I really want him to be a therapy dog. He'd be perfect. He's bitten 7 times. I want you to teach me to make sure he never bites again because I want him to be a therapy dog. It's like, you know, if you have a bite history of 7 bites or 6, you know, it's like, we have a problem.
We got a problem
I
here.
I know you love your dog, but. A lot of dogs who are benevolent would never think about biting are very uncomfortable in new contexts. They're scared. They're afraid of the hallways. They're afraid of the machines. They're afraid of the IV poles. They're, you know, they love their owner, but they're not always comfortable around strangers. So it is a very special kind of dog. But like Liz says, they can be, you know, pony size to minuscule.
Thank you again so much, Liz. I want to give others a chance to join in, but I really appreciate your call. Thank you so much. And Amy in Lawrence, Lenexa, Kansas. Let's turn to you. Hi, Amy.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you so much for bringing this program out there. Patricia, I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
All the way out here in Kansas. I work with pet partners with my dog, Ginger. I just posted her photo. So I wanted to comment on how much it means to the handlers when we go out there with this kind of labor of love, because it really isn't that much of a labor to do it.
Yeah.
As you know, we go to several places, hospitals, nursing homes, libraries, Ronald McDonald houses, but at the Alzheimer's nursing home we go to, you know, every visit is new and we'll see people repeatedly. And while that can be difficult for some, I just enjoy it to no end. Every visit, there's a gentleman I see at the very end. He'll ask me, as he's gotten to know what we do, he'll say, well, you know, for as long as you guys have been doing this, it's going to be hard to let her go.
Hmm.
And he just gets me every time.
Hmm.
But he's so insightful.
Mm-hmm.
And he really appreciates what we're doing. And that means a lot to me. But I'll see him the next week, and it's a new conversation.
And go on.
And if his family is there or another person that we're visiting, family see it, that means a lot to the families to see that too, because they've lost their loved one to this disease that, as we know, is a long road. But when they're with a pet, with a dog, with a therapy animal, they get a little bit of their parent back.
There's actually a... a program that was started by a friend of mine, Karen Lasker, in Florida, called the Brody Project, and it was actually named after a woman named Mrs. Brody, who had Alzheimer's and who was just lost to her family until a little dog was put in her lap in her bed, and that was the only time she would talk. It made a profound difference. It's like she came back. She came back when the dog was there. And so, yeah, this whole program started with it, and your point is so well taken that it's really good for the handlers and, you know, the human part of the team. It really is a team. It's you and your dog acting as a team, and it is incredibly good. Sometimes it's hard, right?
Yeah.
But it's really, really good for us. And I just quickly, before we moved on, I wanted to mention, you mentioned Pet Partners used to be the Delta Society. It's the largest organization in the country, very much worth people's time looking up. There's also Assistance Dogs International. There are lots and lots of programs out there. Just every credible program requires your dog at least to be very carefully evaluated. And don't join a program that doesn't, because that's a they need to be well managed, they need to be thoughtful, they need to be well organized, and it's critical that both both members of the team need to be very aware of what they're doing. Right? Do you agree?
Yeah, we have a strong volunteer group here in Kansas City. We have 90 members, but there's definitely not enough of us. But you're right about a reputable organization. Pet Partners evaluates teams every other year. And to your comment about some dogs aren't necessarily meant to be in this position, we've had dogs that have had to retire out.
Right.
Because, yeah, so I'm sure you can speak better on that. But I am enjoying your program, and I just wanted to share that little bit.
And thank you so much, Amy, for sending the photograph up on my Facebook page. It's great to see.
Oh, what a great picture.
Great to see Ginger.
That's our dog, that Ginger, who is a sweet little pet, but also a hard worker. In fact, she's Volunteer of the Year 2009.
Oh, congratulations. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much. And go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can get a shot of her. Caroline sent a shot of her poochie, and then we got Kyle sent some shots, and
lots of great pictures.
Yeah, lots of great photos. Thank you so much.
And could I just quickly add very quickly, because I know we have calls to get to, but there's one program I never mentioned that I think is so valuable. It's called Dogs in the Courtroom, and here's I'll just give you a scenario that'll just sort of explain it. Imagine you are a 12-year-old girl who has been sexually molested by your stepfather, right? You have to testify against him with him and your mother sitting in the courtroom, all right? So many people are put in situations of incredible stress and difficulty. And what they found to this program is if you bring a dog in, the child gets to meet the dog beforehand, establish a bond with them, and then the dog goes to the stand with them and lies at their feet or lies on their lap. And they can pet the dog while they're testifying. And it seems to make, in some cases, I'm sure not all, but it makes a profound difference in some cases. And it's
very
a national program, Dogs in the... Isn't that cool?
Yeah, very, very cool. Eileen in Montford, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share an experience of mine with both of you. I have two dogs and a cat. The dogs are a white German Shepherd and a yellow Lab, so they're not little. And the cat is a calico. The dogs were definitely 100% my husband's, completely devoted to him, obeyed him, and just loved him, went everywhere with him. The cat literally adopted us and managed to somehow convert my dog-only loving husband to also a cat person. But sadly, about 2 years ago, very unexpectedly, my husband passed away. And I can say without question that these amazing, beautiful animals are the reason that myself and my two daughters were able to get through some of the most difficult moments ever. For one thing, I had no experience with animals. I grew up in the military, so I never had pets. And these dogs were also grieving. They looked very sad having lost their best buddy. And I got to know the vet in town. I actually listened to your program. I got books. A neighbor down the street that was a friend of my husband and knew my situation gave me a couple of books about understanding dogs and how they think. And I had a focus to focus on keeping these getting these animals happy again and getting out and walking with them. And the cat always seemed to know just the right time to maybe jump on someone's lap and allow us to pet her, which is, I think, she would never lower herself to do before. I just wanted to say that they may not be therapy dogs in a sense, trained that way, but these animals...
They were for you.
They won my heart and soul 100%. And I don't know what my girls and I would have ever done without their companionship.
Oh, thank you so much, Eileen, for sharing that story. And I think, you know, one, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I think there's so many people who know exactly what you're talking about, whether their grief or loss or struggles were the same or whether they were different. It's, boy, I know, you know, long time ago, my ex-husband left me, and he's a great guy. We're great friends. I'm fine. All is well. But I'll tell you, it was a really long winter. And if it wasn't for the dogs that I could curl up with, you know, I have the same feeling as like I'd still be here. But I can't imagine. And I think that's so, that connection. I really, Larry, believe this bond that we have with our companion animals is, it's a biological phenomenon. It's a kind of a miraculous social relationship that's unprecedented in all of history. I think it deserves more attention. I'm glad it's getting some, but you know, I think Eileen's story speaks so touchingly and profoundly to the importance of that bond. Thanks for calling so much.
Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you, and thank you for your programs. They did a lot to help me.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very, very much. And you know, Patricia, you've devoted your life to animals, and you're in the process now of trying to help out in another program.
I'm excited. Yeah, there's a national program that's coming to Madison. It's the 2 million dog walk. If you Google Puppy Up Madison or you just go to my blog, The Other End of the Leash, you'll see that I've joined a group of wonderful people, including a lot of people from Pet Pals. We are joining in a 2-mile walk, with or without dogs, to raise money for this really interesting cancer research. And it's you know, we all know how important that kind of research is, but it's an especially innovative program in that it's using it's looking at cancer in dogs and people in a comparative sense, because a lot of the cancers that dogs get, as many of us know, are very similar to the cancers that people get. So it's basically, it's in a comparative oncology research program. And so we're trying to raise money. So I'm out there, my blog, I think, Larry, you are going to have a link.
Yes.
To my page. I have a page where you can donate in my name. And
I will do that.
Yay! And you know, I want Larry to come walk with us. It's May 4th, Madison. It's just 2 miles. That's nothing to you, right?
I've done 3 miles this morning. Every morning.
So, are you walking with me, Mr. Larry Mueller?
I will be out of town.
Oh, sure. Really? Oh.
No, I really will.
Oh, darn. Well, maybe Renee. Maybe Emily.
Yeah.
Anyway. Please check it out. It's a wonderful project. The Madison team has a goal of 20,000. We're gonna double that. We are, and I should also say that the founder, who had two Great Pyrenees, very dear to my heart, right?
Yeah.
With my Great Pyrenees, he lost one to osteosarcoma, and so he started this whole thing. He walked 2,000 miles with two dogs, right? And he's going to do it again later this summer, but he's coming to Madison with his two Great Pyrenees. So, very exciting.
Wow.
Very exciting. Puppy Up Madison. Go to www.theotherendoftheleash.com and check it out.
And Darren Bush was telling me that he has a Great Pyrenees, which is his, kind of like his all-time great friend.
He showed me a picture on the way out.
Oh,
like,
he did?
Oh, no. I love it. And there's a picture of my tulip on my page, who is sort of, I'm raising money in memory of her.
Well, and if people want, also, obviously, go to the website. And we're just about out of time here. And then for more on the programs that you were talking about, you're, again, at your website, Therapy Dogs. And
yeah, I actually have a DVD. If you're interested in getting into a program with your dog, I have a DVD on what to know.
Patricia, thank you so much. Patricia McConnell, certified applied animal behaviorist, a great friend and of mine and a great friend of this station and your friend, too. And she'll be back and do it again with us. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.